Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And in this political season where third-party donors are funneling unprecedented millions into television buys across the country, the general din of advertising can be hard to sift through. Tying the opponent to an unpopular vote or associating them with another unpopular political figure, Obama, Boehner, Pelosi, has become old hat. So how do you rise above the noise? Well, some advertising agencies just keep upping the stakes, putting out spots that are so inflammatory or off the wall that they get heard above the din. So On the Media hosts Bob Garfield and Brooke Gladstone have gotten together to screen some of this election season's most bizarre and outlandish political ads and have added a few lines of their own commentary to the spots, Mystery Science Theater style, if you know what I mean. Now, if you aren't familiar with that talking silhouette in front of a screen format, you can go watch the first two heckle-worthy political ads with the full On the Media treatment at our politics website. It's a free country. .org. It's a free country.org. Brooke and Bob are here now to talk about On the Media's Ad Watch and to play a few examples for us. So hi, Bob. Hi, Brooke. Welcome back to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thank you, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Did you know there was weekday programming on WNYC?
Oh, I certainly did. Who knows about Bob?
So
I'm in another city. I wasn't aware of this. I think it's a swell idea, Brian, and you're doing a nice job. Hang in there. You will get the hang of it.
Okay, it is tough though. So okay, before we hear this, a Kentucky ad in the Jack Conway Rand Paul Senate race, Brooke. Tell us how you picked the best, worst ads to lampoon here.
Well, you know, here's the problem. I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, we're using the Mystery Science Theater format, a format I dearly love and have wanted to use for years. But it's really maybe taken this election for the ads to approach the quality of the B or C or D quality science fiction movies that Mike Nelson and his crew did with Mystery Science Theater. And partly I think it's because of the and Bob may disagree with me here, because of the broadcast medium, which might conceivably impose some sense of taste, is now not as important as it used to be. You can get your play online. You can get your play through free media on cable coverage. You don't need the imprimatur of the networks to get these things going, so they can be crazy. Now, the reason why we picked Jack Conway, Bob? You want to talk about Jack Conway and Rand Paul?
Jack Conway is the Democrat running against Tea Party favorite and son of Ron Paul, Rand Paul, for the U.S. Senate in Kentucky. Bob, why this one?
It was easy to make fun of. This is our...
We don't need a big rationale here.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Many commercials are horrible, but not many are easy to kibitz in the format that we've chosen. And this one was a gift from God.
And so what you will hear here, listeners, is the ad audio with some Brooke and Bob Mystery Style Theater.
Now, I was just going to say the ad gets frozen in places, so you hear silence. The viewer will see the ad. It sounds a little hinkier than it looks, and hopefully we'll smooth out all the bugs.
With Brooke and Bob's Mystery Science Theater-style commentary.
Why was Rand Paul a member of a secret society that called the Holy Bible a hoax that was banned for mocking Christianity and Christ?
Why was Rand Paul a dumbass college kid? Why?
Why did Rand Paul once tie a woman up, tell her to bow down before a false idol, and say his god was Aqua Buddha?
He worships an aftershave?
Why does Rand Paul now want to end all federal faith-based initiatives and even end the deduction for religious charities?
Is this guy running for U.S. Senate or for church deacon? What's Paul's Christianity got to do with anything?
Why are there so many questions about Rand Paul?
Because you hired Mr. Scary Voice to ask them.
And they are calling it Media Scrutiny Theater.
There was a headline that said it was a college secret society, so that's what I was referring to. It's hard to play. We're experimenting with video and putting it on the radio. Suddenly we realize the limitations.
It also makes you wonder who's the Democrat and who's the Republican
in
that race, right? Because here the Democrat is attacking the Republican, Bob, for being anti-Christian.
Yeah, you asked a moment ago why we chose this one. One reason we chose it is because, in my experience, and I cannot prove this with data, that conservative candidates have been much more abusive in their political advertising than liberal progressive candidates over the years. And we didn't want this whole series to be too heavily skewed in front of in favor of progressive candidates. By no measure is Rand Paul a progressive candidate, but whoever his opponent is decided to take some inane college hijinks and make him seem like Satan himself, and then, by the way, to invoke all this this Bible thumping into it, that which will appeal to a more traditionally conservative audience. So the bottom line is that political advertising is an equal opportunity venue to behave like a jerk.
And we'll play another example in a minute. But did you pick an obscure ad here, Brooke, just because it was easy to make fun of? You would think that, it's such a bizarre claim that the voters would sort of ignore a commercial like this.
Well, facts are becoming slipperier and slipperier as time goes on. And the really big, obvious, outrageous ads tend to be widely covered elsewhere. So we were hoping to provide a service by looking in some smaller but still very interesting races and seeing some excesses on the margins. Not that this is a marginal excess.
Well, what I've heard is that this ad is the talk of Kentucky. Is that... Do you know that to be true?
It may very well be. I don't actually know it to be true. We just found that it combined what we needed for our little thing we aren't able to stop and fact check the ads. So what we have to do is reality check the attitude, and that tends to govern the kind of ad that we choose.
Brooke and Bob from On the Media with their Media Scrutiny Theater. Not having to disclose where your funding or background is coming from has led to some pretty amazing spots this cycle. This is actually my personal nominee for perhaps the lowest of the low political ad of the 2010 season from a group calling themselves Latinos for Reform.
If they didn't keep their promise on immigration reform, then they can't count on our vote. Democratic leaders must pay for their broken promises and betrayals. If we just go on supporting them again this November, they will keep playing games with our future and taking our vote for granted. Don't vote this November. This is the only way to send them a clear message. You can no longer take us for granted. Don't vote. Paid for by Latinos for Reform.
See, now that's just astonishing to me. It sounds like a joke, like Alan Baldwin's Don't Give to a public radio campaign.
Urging people, this is a serious ad urging people not to vote, to stay home on Election Day.
As the Los Angeles Times said, no group, last year there was the Don't Fill Out Your Census, Latinos campaign, I think funded by the same people. This year, it's Don't Vote. As the Los Angeles Times said, no group in the United States has ever forwarded its political agenda by auto-disenfranchisement.
But the punchline here is that...
You're missing the whole point. Yeah,
right,
Brian.
Right. It's not that there's a group of Latinos who are so outraged on principle at being abandoned by the Democratic Party. This is a pro-Republican ad trying to depress Latino voter turnout because they know that they'll tend to vote for Democrats. Right, Bob?
Yeah, and it's exactly like the guy who killed his parents telling the judge to be lenient because he's an orphan. I mean, the reason the Democrats were not able to pass immigration reform despite all of their promises is that the Republicans blocked them in Congress. So for the Republican Party or their proxies to ask Latinos not to vote because the Democrats betrayed them, I mean, it's beyond appalling. It's on the verge of being surreal.
Let's go back to another one of your Media Scrutiny Theater spots. And again, this is live commentary or interspersed commentary by Brooke Gladstone and Bob Garfield from On the Media. Within an actual political commercial, this is for Republican Dan Finelli running in Florida's 8th Congressional District.
I've already waited over 6 months. I can't bear this any longer.
It's like the waiting room at my gynecologist.
It's not that. It's they've denied you because you've passed the age limit for the treatment.
Hold on. There's no age limit for treatment in the new healthcare law.
I wish there were death panels for acting careers.
I'm Dan Finelli,
and communists will murder your parents.
That one also helps to have the visual because it was playing off the first commercial. But it's, in this particular instance, there is a clear lie that we can clearly point to, and that helps us for the rather constrained format that we have embraced for this little project.
The
I only wish
age
that
limit
the
for...
audience could see the acting performances in that commercial.
Age limits for acting careers. Are we getting fired up about a set of political ads that are, from a political media standpoint, the same as they are every year? Do you think this crop is really fundamentally more extreme or more bizarre than previous years, Bob? Or did you just find a new way
to
approach
them? Brooke makes an interesting point that whatever delicacy was ever put towards political advertising has disappeared now that you don't have to get it on a TV station anymore. You can put your web videos up and run just about anything. But the fact is, because of that pesky First Amendment, you've already been able to do that. I watched an ad during Saturday Night Live this weekend that was nothing but aborted fetuses. And it was so horrible that the TV station had to do a pre-roll apologizing for the ad, which they said they had to view. So, no, I don't think this year I think it was ever thus. But what we have this year is the ability to, at a very low cost, to produce these satires and put them on the web for everybody to see.
Right.
So, I think the ads haven't changed, but the ability to comment on them has expanded dramatically.
And so this was fun with audio, but listeners, if you want to see the video, the full video treatment versions of Brooke and Bob's Media Scrutiny Theater, we have them right up on the homepage of our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. You can see the Kentucky one, and you can see the Dan Finelli one. Go to itsafreecountry.org, or you can see it on a regular show page. Go to wnyc.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you can run these 60-second spots with the commentary by Brooke Gladstone and Bob Garfield from On the Media. Also on It's a Free Country, by the way, I have a quiz question up that relates to this about why people can keep their identity private when they're donating to political campaign commercial funds.
Good question.
So it's freecountry.org or wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, Brooke Gladstone, Bob Garfield. Oh, you're taking nominations for future ads to scrutinize?
Oh,
is this
absolutely.
Right?
We have a couple of more coming up, and they should be on maybe today or tomorrow. And yes, tell us the ad you want us to watch, because we'd love your suggestions.
So post it on our site, and we'll be listening to On the Media. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye.